Okay, good evening, thank you for coming. We are, of course, it's already the 10th of Teves, the Hebrew day. Of course, the fast begins tomorrow at Alois HaShachar, which is dawn, which is, depending on, somewhere in the 5:53 range or so, some people a little bit later, maybe a little bit, a few minutes after 6. But either way, if you want to get up, you got to get up early to eat, although not that early. It begins relatively later. It's the shortest of all the Tanesim. In the Northern Hemisphere, the days are short. The fast will end tomorrow, about 5:35, 5:40, something like that. So all in all, it's actually less than a 12-hour fast. Although it's shortest of the fasts, in many ways it is certain ways it's certain chumrah, which we'll see, a certain famous stringency, which we'll talk about a bit later. But before we get to that, we first have to note that really tomorrow's fast is really for 3 days, and tomorrow on Slichas. In Slichas, it's noted that really the 3 days of Teves back to back that really would require a fast. And they are, number one, the 8th day of Teves, which was yesterday, which is the Targum of the translation of the Torah into Yevonis, into Greek, took place by the, known as the Septuagint. That's number one. Number two, on the 9th of Teves, which was today, was the Petira of Ezra HaSofer. And number three, of course, Asar B'Teves, which is the actual day we fast, the culmination of these three events, which of course occurred over a span of time. They didn't occur back to back in 1 year. But we have the siege of Yerushalayim, and which is the beginning of the Churban Bayis. So the Haskalah of the Churban, which of course culminated with Tisha B'Av and the 10th of Av, began on Asar B'Teves, and that also was over several years. Shavuos Betam, as we know, is when the walls were broken. That occurred 3 weeks, and that's the Ben Amitzarim, that's the 3 weeks that we have. That occurred, in, obviously, within a month span. Asar B'Teves occurred several years earlier, so the Yerushalayim was sieged for an extended period of time, and then came Shavuos Betam, and then came Tisha B'Av. So that's really the cycle of the Churban as we know it. So how does this all relate to us? So let's discuss each day al Seder, because again, tomorrow we're fasting really for all 3 days. Technically, each day, Chazal tell us, deserved its own fast. So we really should have fasted Ches, Tes, and Yud. It's listed as Titus Tzadikim. I don't know anybody that actually fasts all 3 days, but since it technically, obviously Chazal said we're not going to make a Klai Yisrael fast 3 days in a row, it would be too difficult, but at least we take into the 10th of Teves understanding that we're really fasting for 3 different days. So let's first talk about the 8th of Teves. 8th of Teves, Talmai, King Talmai HaMelech, took 70 Chachamim into a room, and the Gemara Megillah tells us actually a Nes occurred, and they were able to translate this Torah identical. They had to translate it in Greek. Imagine if you took a number of Talmai Chachamim and you say, okay, let's translate this Gemara, let's translate Chumash. There would be differences in, even though the Torah is, of course, means one thing, but obviously there would be, how do you translate it? A translation comes out a little bit different here and there. But the Nes happened that they translated the Torah identical. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, although this is really side to the discussion, that there are several cases where they actually distorted the translation on purpose. One of them was the name of Talmai's wife was Arneves. And Arneves is a type of a hare or a rabbit. And all 70 Chachamim realized if they would translate the Arneves into Greek, he would say, you're making fun of me because you're saying that my wife, it's one of the types of animals in Parashat Shemini which are not kosher. You can't eat a rabbit. It's not exactly a rabbit, but it's that family. So they all, b'mechaven, by Nes, that they should not write that because Talmai would get angry. So they changed it. Or Bereshis Baral Hakim, if you translate that literally, that could be misunderstood to mean that Bereshis, the Reishis created Hashem, which of course is obviously, we believe the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. So they actually translated it as Hashem created Hashem in the beginning created. So they wrote that out. So there were several changes there's also Lashon Rabbim in creation where the Ribbono Shel Olam uses a plural Lashon, which sounds like that more than one created. Of course, that also didn't happen. We know there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. That also was changed. Different things were changed in the translation. But why is the translation of the Torah so terrible? Right? By the way, the Lashon Rambam there is Rashi. Rashi answers the question because it's Baruch Shalom sought counsel from, in his Anova, sought counsel from the Malachim that were there. So that's why it's Lashon Rambam. So there's Terutzah for everything, but they had to change at some point. But that's, again, that's side to the discussion. What is so tragic about it? If anything, it should be a simcha that this nace happened and they were able to translate it in a proper manner without being harmed. The answer to this question goes back to Chanukah. And that is, Chanukah, we know that the Yevonim, it's the same Yevonim, which is very interesting, that we're coming off of Chanukah with the victory over the Yevonim, over the Greeks. And we have this Ches Teves, which is just less than a week after Chanukah ended, we have this fast day because of the Yevonim, something the Yevonim did. So, by Chanukah, we know that the Yevonim, we said in Al Anisa many times over Chanukah, we said Lashkichem Tarasacha, that the goal of the Yevonim was to cause Klal Yisrael to forget the Torah. The Medrash, all the way in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, says that Yavon is Toyu Vavayu and creates Choshech. That's what they create. They create darkness. And in fact, Lashkicha Shachach has the same letters as Choshech, right? The same Lashkichem Tarasacha. They attempted to cause it to forget the Torah. Has the sheresh of shachach at the same letters. It's just turned around. So the goal of the Greeks was lashkicham tarasecha. They didn't ban the Torah per se. That, in other words, they didn't remove it, but rather they wanted to distort the Torah. And that is, the ban in certain ways was banned, but in other words, it wasn't like let's get rid of it. It was rather let's have a distortion of the Torah. So for example, the translation of the Torah into Greek creates a tremendous distortion of the Torah, because now all of a sudden it's translated, all the Muslims have access to it, they can now make commentary, they can make their own Pirushim, and that infiltrates its way into Klal Yisrael, so now there's confusion. In fact, until this predates, most of you, if you grew up with an English Chumash in Shul, it was an art school Chumash. When I was a kid, in most shuls that needed an English Chumash, I grew up in a out-of-town shul. It was an Orthodox shul, it was a frum shul, but there was no English translation chumashim. For a shul, there was one chumash that was called the Hertz chumash, and that chumash was written, and then the Pirushim on the bottom infiltrated in there were commentaries that were totally connected to Torah. They said things that were total apikorsis, and that was the chumash because there was nothing in English until Artsko came along. Other publishers. There were English Sfarim, but like a nice Chumash and a Shul didn't exist till our whole art school was only 40 years old. So before that, even the Hashkich of Darsana, the fact that it was translated and came into the hands of anybody and everybody causes a distortion, because now all of a sudden you have, for example, even the Neitzrim, who created their own religion, they also based it on the translation of the Bible, and they have their own commentaries and their own understandings. There are words in there that are totally mistranslated or translated to help their agenda of, which are coming up on their Chagam, but the agenda of their prophet who they believe is the Messiah, etc. Many of their proofs are based on translations of, distorted translations of the Torah. They're words that are just mistranslated, or they could be translated kind of in this way or that way. And like any translation, You distort the meaning of the word. In fact, the Sanhedrin had to paskin directly. That's why Mordechai Yehudi knew every language, all seven languages, because a dayan had to hear the testimony of the witness directly. Once it goes to a translator, it becomes distorted. So once you distort the Torah, now several things happen. Number one, the meaning I have a misunderstanding of the meaning, unless it's proper commentary. So again, in English, a properly written, translated Chumash also misses certain things, but if it has the Pirushim that are Alpi Torah, at least you get the Ikar, what it's supposed to be about. But if you translate it into just English or Greek, as they did it, without any proper commentaries, then it's, they can say whatever they want, unfortunately. And therefore, this causes confusion. Also, you lose out on Gematrias and create Ksivs. There's no Midrashim, right? It just becomes a whole different world, and therefore it becomes a confusion of what the Torah is all about, what's the meaning, once it falls into the hands. Kedushas Yisrael becomes blurred. And this is what the other thing the Yevonim wanted to do. They created 13 pirtzais, the Mishnah Masechta Midos, says they made 13, there was a wall separating Klal Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam, and they went ahead and they made into the Sireg, the separation of the Beis HaMikdash with the rest of the world, had a pirtza in it. And again, the purpose the Greeks did that was to show, look, we're all the same, especially, you know, you have the Torah, but now we have the Torah also. In other words, we understand it, and we'll learn it, and you know, eventually, you know, we can do whatever we want with it. And the entire, you know, gullus that we're in is a function of, and all the tsaris of the you know, the those nations in the world who distorted the Torah and created their own Torah, etc., which again, this is the season they're celebrating it, but so many tsaris have come from that. It's all an offshoot of this. In other words, without the Septuagint, without the translation of the Torah, none of this could have ever happened. They could have made their own religions, but not based on Torah. Here you had a whole religion that based itself on, no, we're the Jew. In other words, this is Judaism now. This is the new Judaism, right? It's a new Judaism. And the Bible's the basis, of course. We all believe the Bible. That's all very important, but we're going to distort it and say, you don't have to really keep it anymore. You only have to keep this, you only have to keep that. All of that could have never happened had the Torah stayed in Lashon HaKodesh. It's all a function of the translation. So the tsaros of gullus that we're in are a direct function, and that's why it's a fast day. And that's why, again, we fast, postponed. We don't fast on the 8th of Tevis. We fast on the 10th of Tevis. We should note that Hanukkah was the menorah. Menorah represents Torah. The seven branches of the menorah represent the chachmas, the chachmei ha'olam that are branched out of the Torah. In other words, the middle branch is the Torah. Everything branches out from the Torah. All chachma can come from Torah. You can learn any chachma you want. It's all in the Torah if you learn it and understand it. And the face is the middle, which means all chachma, the purpose is to ultimately serve the Torah Kedoshah. So again, that was Hanukkah, Torah. Hanukkah was Mechazik Torah. We say, the Gemara tells us, HaRetzis Sheyachkim Yadrim, a person wants to be wise, you should daven towards the south, because the menorah was on the south. If you notice in Shul, the menorah was on the southern wall, because that's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, Torah represents, the south represents Torah, and therefore that was what Hanukkah was, the chizuk for Torah. We had 36 candles. There's a vart I saw, there are 36 candles on Hanukkah total, all 8 days, is Keneged the 36 days. Now, it's supposed to be Hanukkah and Tevis. Now I added up, I only got 34, 35. This year it's 35. I don't know exactly 36. I don't know the vart exactly. Maybe Kan Erev Hanukkah, maybe Kan Rosh Chodesh Shvat. I'm not sure, but you get, because you have Hanukkah was 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30. That's 6 days. There's only 29 days in Tevis, so that's 29 and 6 is 35, right? So, okay, it's close enough. And maybe we're going to count Erev Hanukkah. So you get 36 candles. The purpose of the ore of the menorah was to lighten Tevis, because Tevis is Choshech. Tevis is winter in Lashon HaKodesh. It's called Tkufas Tevis. Tevis represents the longest nights of the year. We're coming up, winter starts this Friday. It's the longest night, the shortest day. And therefore, of course, the famous part is the menorah lights up the darkness. But it's more than that. It lights up the darkness of Tevis. Hanukkah came into Tevis, always. Hanukkah is either ends on the second or third of Tevis, depending on how many days there are in Kislev. The Dafka cuts into Tevis because Tevis is dark. Tevis has this Ches Tevis. Tevis has the Choshech of the Yevonim who succeeded. In other words, they succeeded in translating the Torah. They succeeded in a distortion. We say Hanukkah was the victory of Lashkicham Tarasecha, but in many ways they were successful. They weren't totally successful, Baruch Hashem, the Chashmonaim were victorious, but in certain ways they were successful in the distortion of the Torah. And that distortion continues out of Yom HaZeh, not only with other religions, even within Klal Yisrael, we have distortion of Torah. We have people say, you know, this is okay, this is mutter, this hashkaf is fine, the G'dayla Dor don't know what they're saying, we don't understand it. All of that is Lashkicham Tarasecha. It's to say, you know, we'll do what we want, we'll do our own thing. What do we know better. And that, all of that, movements of, unfortunately, in Klal Yisrael, historically, movements within Klal Yisrael have totally, completely, and absolutely distorted the Torah Kedoshah. That is also a Lashkicham Tarasecha, and therefore, that's what Teves is about, that distortion, the fasting because of that distortion, and the recognition of that distortion. So that really is important, really. Number one, what's the, you know, it's a nice verlof, but it really relates to all of us, because we're consistently confronted on an ongoing basis of Lashkicham Tarasecha, right? We go out amongst Umas HaOlam, you can go and work, and you have, first of all, other yidden that are there, and who cut corners and are as erlich, and they may even challenge, like, why are you so religious? And why, in other words, you're being too religious, or you're being too firm, or you're fafrumt, or you're, whatever term they're using it, it becomes a big nisayan. It becomes a big nisayan when a person's in a situation where, you know, you have a certain level of, you know, kashrus, you have a level of tznius, you have a level of how you, what you speak, what you say. All of that is very, very important. And it's very often, it can be distorted, you know, by others who do differently. And all of a sudden, you create this doubt, like, what's wrong? Do you know, this is really right, or you're being too this, you're being too that. Sometimes, again, obviously, there is a makam. I'm not here to say that, you know, it's an issue of other people are wrong. We're not here to taina on other people. We're here to say that sometimes, if a person is misguided, they could challenge you in a difficult way, and you're put in a difficult situation. In particular, it happens at work very, very, very often. You know, things come up, and people don't understand why you're this, why you're that, why do you have to do this? Even if you work in a firm organization, sometimes challenges come up of, you don't want to lie, right? What's so wrong? There's nothing wrong with, everybody does this, you know? Everybody you know, says this. You know, everybody cheats a little bit. Everybody, right? So that's, again, that's why Shkinu Tarasecha, because, you know, it's a pressure. It's a pressure where everybody's doing it. So what's wrong with it? You got to ask a Shaila and see what's right. There's some things that are okay. Some things not okay. You ask a Shaila and you see what's wrong. But we live in the world of the Lashkicham Tarasecha, especially nowadays. Nowadays, you want to answer any question, you just Google it. So in other words, if Rabbeinu Google says something, why are you being more religious than Rabbeinu Google? The problem is, Rabbeinu Google really was, you know, some blogger wrote what's on his mind and was certainly, you know, misnagging to Klal Yisrael himself. It doesn't have the right halacha. Taina's on others. You know, everybody has a daya now. Everybody has an opinion. And it's very challenging. Everybody has all these opinions on this thing and that thing and against the system. And it's very dangerous because, again, let's just, and they speak in the name of Torah, right? And it's dangerous. That's, again, it's another example of Lashkicham Tarasecha. So you can have somebody, you know, even not Jewish, not religious, that sees you doing something and acting in a proper halachic manner, and they'll Google it and they'll see there's 10 opinions. They'll go, why do you follow this opinion? But again, as you know from topics that you really know and understand, I remember years ago I used to say, if you read a newspaper article, sometimes you read it like Rashi, right? In other words, it's Yumadayik in what it says, until you know the story. In other words, if there's an article about something that happened to you personally, right, that or they interviewed you or they came to your school and they read a write-up about it, and you read it, you say, one second, they got some of the facts wrong here. You know, because newspaper, they usually don't share the article. They usually just write it and then go on to the next article. Whenever you really have ideas you always see that, you know, that's the case. As Chatin Masker Hayom, I sometimes do that. I have a fascination with Zmanim and times. Whenever there's a Zmanim article, I like to read it. And of course, the gaiva in me says, okay, let me find mistakes, right? And 9 out of 10, there's always mistakes, right? In other words, it's a topic I know and I see their errors. But the mussar to that is that, you know what? If I read an article about something I'm not so familiar with, and I say, hey, how did that happen? And who said that? And what's going on here? And that Rav said that? I don't understand. Well, just like I, in a topic that I understood, or a story that I knew, and I saw in the newspaper, or someone wrote up a blog, or somebody, I mean, it's not really a blog, right? But someone, they get emailed, you know, someone, you know, it depends where, right? But someone wrote up something, so I have to say to myself, you know what? Just like the topic I understand, I know is distorted most of the time. So I have to assume that this topic, some of the facts got distorted also. That's again, Lashkicham Tarasecha. It's things are presented in a non-appropriate manner. So that's Lashkicham Tarasecha, that's the 8th of Teves. The 9th of Teves was the Yahrzeit of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer was like Moshe Rabbeinu in his era, which is really an important period of Klal Yisrael. It's the end of the Bayis Rishon, the beginning of Bayis Sheni. It's the time when the Anshei Kesach HaGdoila were implementing important takanas for Klal Yisrael. It was a period of time where Avodah Zarah would go away because they were shechted the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And at the same time, Nevi'im came to an end. Right, the 40th year of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, was the end of the era of Nevi'im. which really is a watershed of the history of Klal Yisrael. When no Nevi'im meant that a vacuum in Klal Yisrael came in that without Nevi'im, so there were G'dayle Olam, but without Nevi'im, people began to stop believing in Ribbono Shel Olam, right? And as time went on, science came along and quote-unquote proved the agenda of atheism, right? Obviously, there's shlug-ups to the proofs, and there's lots of Torah written on this, because I'm not here to talk the science of it, but you know, we live in a world today, and again, there have been different kufas in history that Klal Yisrael have suffered from. The Umas HaOlam, who distorted the Torah HaKadoshah, was a tremendous movement and made pogroms and bloodshed, all in the name of, they were doing us the Taiva, the Spanish Inquisition, they burned Jews at the stake to save us from, you know, from afterlife, terrible Gehenna, and after, all they did, all the Taivas, right, where people were Mamish by Senefesh, L'Shem Shamayim, you know, not to worship the Avodah Zara of these religions. But it's interesting, history now is a little different. Most people, that's not really where the danger is. The danger is in atheism, and apathy, and non-belief, right? And a lack of belief in Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the main issue of today. Because people want to have a good time, they want to have fun, they want to have etc. And that means much easier when you don't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam. It's much easier. By the Seder, we say, I often speak this out, I heard this, Klaus used to say this, Hashem Levin Ozel, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, who was the father-in-law of Rabbi Kotler, in his Sefer, he asked Akasha, we say in the Haggadah, Ulufish Haisi, it's Asim and Akal, Kofar Be'ikr. It's never too early to prepare for Pesach, right? Ulufish Haisi, it's Asim and Akal, Kofar Be'ikr. Because this, the Russia, talk about the Russia, the four sons, the Russia, the Arabonim, the Russia was Haitzi Sassman Aklal. He removed himself from the group, from Klal Yisrael, from the community, because he removed himself from the community, covered Be'ikr. He stopped believing in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it seems to be out of order, yes. Usually a person's covered Be'ikr, and then he's Haitzi Sassman Aklal. In other words, he says, I don't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, and I'm leaving here. I don't want to stay here. I'm going to shul. I'm going to school. I don't know. I think he moves to some, you know, place where no yin. What does it mean? He's heitzis hasmin haklal. He removes himself from the community, and then he's kafir be'ikr. Then he doesn't believe. First, he doesn't believe. That's why he leaves. What does it mean? He doesn't believe, and then leaves. What does that mean? So Rabbi Nazar says beautiful. He's talking about the Russia. He says, ulufish heitzis hasmin haklal. He removes himself from the community. Because he wants to have a good time, right? He wants to have a good time. But then he still feels guilty. In other words, you know, the scharf einish, and there's a community, people are looking at me, it's embarrassing. So then he's kafir be'ikr. Then he says, oh, I don't want to be part of this. There's no Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't believe in any of it. So in other words, he justifies his Yetzirah. His Yetzirah causes him to do all sorts of wrong things. And he does inappropriate things. But how can he do such a thing? Right? He wants to be chayzim b'tshuva. So the final makav apatish, the final blow is just walk away. Don't have anything to do with him, and then you don't have to feel guilty, right? That's the godless Ezra Sefer created together with the Anshei Sagdoila, created things that make sure we remember the Torah, right? Many takonas that we have from that era, the tefillas that we have, were created the davening. Davening is such a center part of Klal Yisrael. The tefillah as we know it, tefillah has been around, right? The Ovis created the tefillah, but the order and the Shemon Esrei and how we do it and all of that, the whole concept of tefillah as we know it is from that era. So that was today's tinus. It's very interesting that the Shulchan Aruch though writes, Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tuf Kuf Pei. Tovkov Pei, Sif Beis, lists all these tiny tzaddikim. So there are many tiny tzaddikim that are there. Let's say Yud Nisan is the yard sign of Mary Manavia. Right? There's a whole slew of days that are listed as tiny tzaddikim. So I think there's actually 26 days, if I'm not mistaken, besides the regular tiny that we have. Yizayin El is a day the Meraglim died, and it's a whole question, why do we fast on that day, right? There are various days. Again, the meaning is not to fast, they're days listed. So, but against the test of Teves, ninth of Teves, the Shulchan Aruch writes, I don't know what it is. Unknown what tragic event occurred. So, first of all, it's very interesting, like, we're fasting, we don't know why. Usually, you know, there's a new term. When I grew up, they say, have an easy fast. Today, they say, have an easy and meaningful fast, right? Which is a nice thing. It's a nice thing. You say meaningful. How can I have a meaningful fast if you don't even know why you're fasting? Again, the ninth of Teves is the time of Tzaddikim. Oh, you want to be a Tzaddik fast? Okay, I want to be a Tzaddik. Why do I need to fast on the ninth? Tell me. We don't know. Right? We don't know. So that actually is also fits into the confusion. The Taz and the Shabura say the answer could be, the answer is in Slichas tomorrow. In other words, just open a sitter. And the answer is in Slichas. And in Slichas we say, it's the day that Ezra Sofer died. We say the Slichas. So what's the pshat? So some say the Shulchan Aruch was censored. That's why. Because it's the day that Oysa HaIsh was born, which is from the religion we just spoke about. And again, that was all part of this confusion. This is brought in the Taisus Chadashim on Megillas Tainus in the name of a Gadol Echad. I guess the Gadol Echad was afraid to put his name in because of the dangers of the what went on. Someone would write this. He says, Oysanish was born that day. They shall have Rom in the name of Myra, in the name of the Riven. Explains that Yeshua Noitzri was born on this day. And they saw it would cause many tsaras and Kali Yisrael for the future. Right? Hence the fast. Right? So again, the delicate explanation was apparently censored. Again, it's interesting. We see that impact at this time of the year. That's when it's being celebrated. The culture of the Umas HaOlam, the holidays, the Hashkafas, all infiltrate us, right? It all has an impact on us. In fact, I heard a tremendous part, Shem Mordechai Shapiro, who's actually his son, spoke at our shul a few weeks ago. He said over Rav Kipshat from his father. Really, the sefer is called Maimon Mordechai. I don't remember, it's called, it's the father's name was Rav Mordechai Shapiro. I don't remember the name of the sefer that he wrote. But he wrote, it said, the Rambam says that on Chanukah, they were pashtu yedeim b'mamaynon. The Umas HaOlam were, you know, stuck their hands in our money. That's what the Rambam says. So Rabbi Hashpiro, asked a question. I believe it was actually Rabbi Benjamin Steinberg, the famous principal of Yaakov. They were brothers-in-law. So he asked Akasha that, what does it mean pashtu yedeim b'mamaynon? That means, usually it would mean they stole. Someone sticks their hand in your purse, and, you know, pickpockets you. That's pashtu yedeim b'mamaynon. They stuck your hand in your money and took it. So why is that funny lashon? Why is it funny terminology? Say they were gazlanim. They're gazlanim. What do they mean? Pashtu yedeim b'mamaynon. What does that mean? Obviously, Chazal are medaktik in the lashon. The Rishonim were medaktik. If they use that terminology, it's coming to tell us something more than just gneiver, gzeila. What's it coming to tell us? So, he explains beautifully. Pasha de Ramayana means, that's what they stole. Doesn't mean they took the money. They plundered. Doesn't mean that. It means that they wanted us to spend money in their way. In other words, the hashkafa, we don't want your money. Just spend it in our way. In fact, one of the ways you can tell about a person, right? Bekisa Makasa Lukaisai. One of the ways you can tell a person is Bekisai through his purse, through his wallet. How people spend money is indicative of what's important to them. I'm sure accountants have that. I guess you interview an accountant, they have ideas, and people, even though all they do is see their money, but they get a picture of what's important to them. Right? It doesn't mean whether you're rich or not. In other words, how much stock you give obviously is one. But a person does not have a lot of means, doesn't give stock, you can still see what's important to the person. Right? The way a person spends money, so they wanted that hashkafa to be there. He told her a couple stories. One of them was, just somebody made a bar mitzvah on the day of the father. And I told her two stories. It's worth repeating both stories. One is that someone came and said, Rabbi, our father was religious. He passed away. He left a kiddush cup. But we don't make kiddush. We're not religious. Can we use it for an ashtray? Right? So like, you can take a kiddush cup and use an ashtray. That's pashtu yedeim b'mamaynon, right? Even worse story, he said someone made a fancy bar mitzvah, a movie with fancy, they were flying in wine from Italy, that it should be the right temperature when it landed, and it would land the day of the bar mitzvah. And it would come at the right time in the right chilled freezer. This is, you know, 50 years ago, so it was even a bigger deal. Today it would also be a pretty big deal if someone flew in wine from Italy that should come in at the right time. But then it was even more complicated. And spending like $100,000 on the bar mitzvah, and the Rav went over to the lady and said, oh, what about tefillin? Did you buy tefillin for your son? And the lady said, oh, oops, I forgot. So he said, okay, it's not too late. Do you want me to, I'll buy a pair of tefillin. So she says, yes, but make sure it's under $11, please. Right? Pashu de Mamainam, right? That's Pashu de Mamainam. Those are just two examples that he gave. And that's really what, you know, unfortunately, the impact that Musa'ilam had upon us. Now, of course, the primary reason we fast on the 10th of Teves is, as we said, it's the beginning of the Churban Bayis. There is a famous Avudram, very famous. In fact, most shiurim you hear on Asar B'Teves tell you this Avudram and work off the Avudram. That's why I started with everything else first, to talk about other aspects, and now we'll get to the Avudram and give our explanation of that. The Avudram says that if Asar B'Teves is the only fast, besides Yom Kippur, that if it fell on Shabbos, you fast on Shabbos. So it's a famous Avudram. Now, it happens to be and he writes, because it says Betzem and Mazeh, on the story of Asar B'Teves, and it says Avetzem Mazeh by Yom Kippur, just like Yom Kippur, we don't push off. Other Tanais we push off, right? All of them we push off. They all could fall on Shabbos, and we push them all off with the exception of Yom Kippur. It just so happens that our calendar facilitates that Asar B'Teves never falls on a Shabbos. It can't, based on it's an offshoot of the laws of Le'adu Rosh, Rosh Hashanah cannot be on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, etc. All of that causes Asar B'Teves never on a Shabbos. But if it would, it would fall out. So why? Why is Asar B'Teves different? I often wondered, it would be quite unique Shabbos. Friday night you need a Suda, you wake up Shabbos morning, go to Shul, the Maftir would be Vaychal. I don't know what Taftar would be, I'm not sure. By Mincha, I'm not sure what they would lay. I guess Vaychal, and I don't know, Torah, I don't know. And you know, there'd be no lunch. Forget the Chalmut, right? Let's forget it. I guess the Shabbos nap you could take. Shal Shudas would not exist. And then fast would end, and you'd eat a good Malamalka. Right? It's kind of almost strange. Asar B'Teves does fall out on a Friday. It's the only fast that falls out on a Friday, other than the Tanis B'Chayrim, which most B'Chayrim don't fast, they go to a Siyam. When Pesach is a Shabbos, right? But that we're not going to count that because B'chayrim don't fast. So the only Friday that we ever fast is Asar B'Teves. It will happen in 2 years once Mashiach comes. I find it one of the most unique circumstances. A fast on a Friday, it just doesn't shtim, right? The whole, you're fasting and then you go to shul and you're laning, you have Shabbos, you're big day Shabbos, you come home, you break the fast.
That's the last time it happened.
It happened? It's a good question.
I think it was 2012.
I should know the answer to that question. I'm going to say...
I think it was 2011.
2011?
I was in Israel then. That's the only reason I remember that.
That makes sense. 2011, you're right. It did happen in 2011. Yes. It was 2011. It may have happened since then. It may have happened in
2011. It was 5 years ago.
5 years ago? Okay. So it was
2013?
The end of 2013. Okay. Well, I'll tell you a way to remember at the end. I'll tell you how we can figure this out in a minute. It would take a minute or two. I shouldn't have that answer. Okay. So, why do we have this chumra of fasting on Shabbos? The answer is because of Tchilas Peronius. It's the beginning of the Peronius. Whenever we start, Halacha gives certain chshivas to when something starts. I'll bring another raya to this. Although the raya is a little bit of a kasha, Tisha B'Av, really the Churban Bayis began on the 9th of Av and continued into the 10th of Av. So why do we fast the 9th of Av? In fact, one of the Tanoim said, if it would have been up to me, I would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av. Because right when the Churban Bayis began, the fire began at the end of the day of the 9th. And it burnt until the 10th, until the end of the day, almost the end of the day. That's what we're doing on the 10th. We don't, you know, until Chatzos, we don't meet, we don't listen to music. It's like the 9 days, we don't take a hot shower, etc., right? So, because the 10th was the Churban. So why don't we fast the 10th on a regular year? This year, why don't we do it? Because it's a Nidcha. But we don't fast. The answer is because the Haschalah is on the ninth. The beginning is Chashev. That's what's explained. So explain, the Lower Sefer for Shalos explains the chamber of Moshe. So why is Haschalah? In other words, okay, very nice. It's Haschalah if Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av is the ninth and not the tenth. Asar B'Teves is the Haschalah, the Peronios of the Tzaras, of the problems. So therefore, we'd even fast on Shabbos. It's even, in that sense, it's more chumra than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, we push up. We just did it a few months ago. Asar B'Teves, we would fast. In theory, we fast on Shabbos. Theoretically, we fast on Shabbos. But still, why? So what is so terrible about Haschalah? The answer is missed opportunity. It's a missed opportunity because what Ribbono Shel Olam does is Ribbono Shel Olam started a Haschalah of the Churban to tell people, hey, listen, wake up, right? You know, there's a problem here. And Klai Yisrael didn't heed the warning signs. They just continued in their merry way. And because of that looking back, but the Churban happened, it's a Churban, it's a terrible thing. What's worse is knowing that you could have rectified the situation. Right? We all make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. The biggest mistake, though, is when someone said, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Like, why'd you do that? And it shouldn't have happened. And I don't know you, it happens to all of us. We all make mistakes. And we were warned about certain things, and yet, we know better, we should have, we could have, da, da, da. And then we do perpetuate it. And sometimes even people consistently perpetuate it. I mean, I know people, you know, unfortunately, there are people who are, you know, you're talking, not even the Gashmi is uber Ruchni is. Gashmi is a little bit to comprehend. There are people who, you know, they'll borrow money and the same person comes back and has another story, another Maisa, or he'll tell you he's going to make you money, he'll double your money. And he's got all these great stories. And, you know, it sounds real. And I trust this guy or I trust this person. And then you just keep investing. And eventually, the guy doesn't have anything. You know, it's a terrible situation. There are people who have gotten built because they trusted the person. Okay, everybody makes a mistake. You know, I should have done. Check. Okay, they lost. But the bigger mistake is when there were warning signs that, one second, why is he coming back to me again? He promised me double, and yet he hasn't paid me a penny yet. Something's fishy. Let me go speak to somebody who knows finances. Let me speak to somebody who, you know, what do I know about finances, right? Let me speak to somebody I really trust, who could advise me, who could analyze what happened, and they'll tell me, hey, watch out, don't do that. This guy's taking you for a ride. Consistently this happens. That's a gashmistic example. But ruchnius also, it happens. People do things, they think things, they say things, and yet it doesn't pan out, right? But ruchnius, we're mechazik ourselves, and we look back and we see where we can improve. And that's really the issue of the haschalah. Of the beginning. So maybe that's why I want to tie it on this pshat. And maybe that's why we don't postpone Asar B'Teves. Because postponing is the mistake of Asar B'Teves. In other words, they postponed their tshuva. In other words, Klal Yisrael had a siege and they should have heeded the warnings. So they, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another time. Oh, there's no problem. It was a postponement. That was the tzara. They kept saying, it's not so bad. Let's wait. So therefore, we, the dafka, don't postpone. Never, it's the only time, it's besides Yom Kippur, which is a different type of time, we don't postpone this fast because that was goof of the chait, that they postponed the ability to tshuva. So therefore, The point here is that Asar B'Teves is something that falls out in its time, will always fall out of time, because the mistake it was that. Another pshat is that it's Haschalah of the Churban cycle. There's a halacha, why we fast. The halacha, Tainus Chaloyim. We don't fast on Shabbos, but there's something called Tainus Chaloyim, which is a fast for a dream. A person technically is a terrible, terrible dream. There's a concept of the Tainus Chaloyim. Typically, there are other ways around it. Someone has a dream. There are ways, but in the worst case scenario, there's something called Tainus Chaloyim. So, if there's halacha, the person came to fast Tainus Chaloyim on Shabbos. I don't know anyone who's ever done it, but on the books, la halacha la maisa, we don't fast on Shabbos. But the Tainus Chaloyim, the person woke up, mamish, there in such a state of, you know, of they can't function. There's halacha they can fast on Shabbos, right? In other words, the Tanis Chalom is mutter. Okay, we're not going to get into halacha Tanis Chalom, but they say Asar B'Tavis is the Chalom. It's like a Tanis Chalom. In other words, we have a bad dream going on here. Tomorrow, you know, if Mashiach didn't come yet, it says any door that the Beis Hamikdash is not rebuilt. Any generation the Beis Hamikdash is not rebuilt is roy that the Churban should happen. So if tomorrow we have an Asar B'Tavis, it's roy that if we would have had a Beis Hamikdash, the siege would have happened. Which means we're dreaming about a Churban, right? In other words, we see that it's a Chalom that the Churban is going to happen. It's a bad dream, which begins tomorrow. With Mashiach doesn't come tomorrow, the bad dream begins. Oh, bad dream, we need to fast. And even Shabbos, because it's like a Tanis Chalom. Just like you can fast Tanis Chalom, you can fast on Shabbos. Also, I want to end with a Vart from the Slichas tomorrow. Do you have a sitter? A regular sitter. There's a Pasuk in Navi. And the Pasuk in Navi is quoted in tomorrow's Slichas. It's a Pasuk, I believe, from Sefer Zecharia. And it speaks about it's a very positive Pasuk. It's a Pasuk of, you know, that things will be changed from miyaga l'simcha. And that's always, the nice thing, you know, in Klal Yisrael, I often say this, I know the biggest simcha always has a little bit of tzara in it, right? By chasana, we break a dish, we break a glass. Thank you, Purim, we lay into the tune of Echa on Purim, right? Shehagla, we remind ourselves of the Churban. The same thing is the opposite. When we have tzara, it's always good. Even the haftarah of Tisha B'Av or Chazoyin ends on a good note. See, in the haftarah Chazoyin, it's the most stark of Musar that Yeshaya gives. I'm sure you learned it, right? And it's stark of Musar. At the very end, see in B'Mishpatipada, Rav Shaveh B'Tztaka, right? It ends on a good note. It's never totally bad, it's never totally good. So tomorrow we have Slichas. And in the Slichas, at the very end, we say as follows. One of the Slichas, at the end of one of them, and even if you're not knowing to say the Slichas, if you want to read through them, the Asar B'Tavis Slichas are rich in it. It's like a history. Some of the Slichas are complicated. If you want to prepare a little bit, even if you don't say Slichas, you can just read through it. Take an English Taich and read through it. You'll see the whole story. Some Slichas are very poetic and difficult. These are just straight, very straight on the Asar B'Tavis Slichas. It talks about the month of Teves, Yerach Teves Moilo Kisi Boy. In the month of Teves, exceedingly was smitten. The Nishtanu Alai Sidra Nisivai. And altered against me was an ordinary course. So it talks about consistently the month of Teves. At the very end, it's actually long. The Slichas, there's always one at the end, the pizman that's said out loud. I always remember the Asar B'Tavis one is very long because it's a short fast. The Shivas V'Tamas one is very short. It's a long fast. Right? That's how I remember which is which. It's the opposite. Miyagin is the very end of the pizman. Miyagin manocha b'day kel esnafshi. From sorrow and sighing, redeem Hashem, my soul. Asay la'amcha anocha malki b'doshi. Provide for your people relief, my king, my holy one. Now here we quote a pasuk in Sefer Zecharia, Perches Pasuk Yutes. Tafaych l'revacha, transformed to well-being the fast. As tzoy mechamishi, the fast of the fifth month. That is Shavas B'Tamas. L'sasa and l'simcha, and to joy and gladness, tzoy meraviv, tzoy masiri. The fast of the fourth month. I'm sorry, the fast of the fifth month is Tisha B'Av. The fast of the fourth month is Shavas B'Tamas. Tzoy masiri, and the fast of the tenth month. There's one more time it's missing from here, Tzoy Mashvi, which is Tzoy Gedalia. Tanis Est is really a different league of a fast. But these are the three Tanesim that relate to the Churban Bayis. Right? These are the three Tanesim. The Nafkamina is, we don't listen to music tomorrow, certain things. It's not, because the Churban Tanesim, we don't listen. It's mainly against Asar B'Tavis. Trust me, Tanis can't listen to music anyway. It's the 3 weeks. Asar B'Tavis, Tanis Est is not wrong listening to music. Even Tzoy Gedalia. Tomorrow, you don't listen to music because it's certain halachos like the 9 days. Right?
Tomorrow, you're not supposed to.
Asar B'Tavis, you don't listen to music. Asar B'Teiv is, you're not supposed to listen to music. There are even those that say even like the 9 days not to bathe, like a 9 days, right? On Asar B'Teiv. It's like Shabbos, also Shabbos B'Tam is not. Shabbos B'Tam is would be mutter. It's certain things like the 9 days. There's a whole chulka days on this. It's not, but if the times of Churban, we treat it like the 9 days. So these three Tanesim, which are for the Churban, Yudamit Ribbono Shel Olam, Tafek Lervach Hatzem HaChamishi, Lusas HaSim, Lusam Revim, Tzem HaSiri. It should be changed to happiness. Lusas HaSim. Right? So I want to say, why is this? So this really applies to all the Tanesim. We don't say this time in Shabbos B'Tam. We only say it tomorrow. Why? So I want to say it like this. It's interesting. The day of the week of Asar B'Teiv is very interesting. In the Nibur Yar, which is this year, it's the same day of the week as the upcoming Simchas Torah. Tomorrow is a Tuesday. Simchas Torah, it's a leap year. Simchas Torah this coming year will be on a Tuesday. It also happened to be this past year, but let's leave that out for a minute. It's the coming year. In a regular year, in a non-leap year, Asar B'Teiv is on the same day as Purim. Just to give you an example, at the end of 2020, Asar B'Teiv will be, it's a 2021, Tav Shin Pei Aleph is a regular year. Asar B'Teiv will be on a Friday. That's the next time at the end of 2020 in 2 years. And Purim will also be on a Friday in 2021. That hasn't happened since 2008, right? But it was a Shalom Baras. But Purim is on a Friday. But Asar B'Teiv will be on a Friday. So I want to say like this, that we're saying a tefillah, just like Asar B'Teiv. You're not stepping off from the angle of Simcha. The day of the week of Asar B'Teiv will always be happy in the upcoming year. It'll either be Purim or Simchas Torah, two happiest days of the year. So we daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, just like Asar B'Teiv, will we know on the calendar will be Nepach. Tuesday will be Nepach. It'll be either Simchas Torah or Purim. This year will be Simchas Torah. Just like we will see Tuesday become a Yom Simcha from a Yom Avelis tomorrow, so too the day of Asar B'Teiv and all these Tanesim should be Nepach Yom Simcha with Kom Shech Tzchem Yom Yomenu. Amen. Thank you very much.